Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Today's show is part two of a three-part series we're doing on HIV and AIDS called Living with HIV and AIDS. Our guests are Lynette Renato and Sharon Russell. These two courageous women are going to tell us their stories of living with the virus and how it's changed their lives. Welcome to the show, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. On the line we have Lynette and Sharon. Ladies, let's begin by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you contracted the virus. Let's tell them your ages today and the ages in which you were diagnosed and a little bit about the circumstances that caused you to become infected. Let's begin with you, Lynette. Lynette?
This is Sharon.
Okay. Lynette? Okay, we must be having some difficulties. Let's begin with you, Sharon.
Hi, my name is Sharon. I'm 39 years of age. I contracted the virus at age 15.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sexually active at the time. I was stabbed at the age of 15,
mm-hmm.
May the 13th, 1985. At that time, there was no HIV test for AIDS. I could receive 122 units of blood. At that time, my mother wasn't aware of HIV. No one in my family had even heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
As my life began this terrible journey that I thought was a terrible journey, I became to learn more about HIV. I became to understand that this disease is something that I have to live with, and I had to learn how to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
As I said in the beginning, I was 15, and now I'm 39 years of age.
Okay. Your background was somewhat different than most. You had grown up in a pretty much like an alcoholic home, and so a lot was going on even to
Come
begin
on, yeah,
with.
Yeah. Let's see if you hear me.
Yeah. Okay. Lynette, are you there?
Yes, am I here?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Tell us your story. Tell us a little bit about how old you are today, when you were diagnosed, and what were some of the circumstances surrounding your diagnosis?
Okay. My name is Lynette Venardo, and I've been diagnosed with HIV and AIDS for over 17-plus years. I was diagnosed while I was trying to get off of drugs, and I went into a treatment center, and I met somebody in a real an affair where, like, dating somebody. And that's how I contracted HIV and AIDS. And so my message was I thought it was a God's gift for me to get this because I couldn't see no other reason for me getting this because I was not a bad person. So I just took what I knew and wanted to get more educated, and that's how I got started in the fields of HIV and AIDS.
Okay. Sharon, do you ever wonder why? Lynette just told us, you know, why she feels like it may have happened to her. Do you ever wonder, you know, why did this happen to you, seeing that, you know, you received a blood transfusion, and do you ever just say, God, why?
I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I say it all the time. I think that at age 15, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional home, I couldn't understand why. I question myself every day, why is this happening to me?
I understand. So it's kind of like you felt like, okay, my home is already dysfunctional, then I go through a stabbing, and then I contract the virus. What more? You know,
it even matters even worse. By the time I even found out I even had HIV, I was already pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant.
Wow.
87 is when I found out. For sure, because the health department was looking for me. My mom moved around a lot. So when I went in to get care for my pregnancy, it's when I learned that they were looking for me, and they had been looking for me for over a year due to the blood transfusion. And my whole world crumbled.
Wow.
My whole world crumbled.
And so that we can to the callers or the listeners, the reason that they couldn't find you is because you moved around quite a bit.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. My mom moved around quite a bit because we didn't have a stable home.
Okay.
I didn't have a stable homestead.
Okay. So it wasn't like you were running from the health department. They just couldn't find you.
No, I didn't run from them. I wasn't even aware of the situation even going on. All I knew is that I was sick, and I just couldn't. It just seemed like things just would never get healed. Things would never, you know, I kept having the flu. I kept having diarrhea. At that time, I had a colostomy bag due to the stabbing that I wore for a whole year. And like I say, I lived here. I lived there. I was placed into foster care. Then I was adopted out of foster care. And then that's when my life began to turn. That's when I began to find out what was going on with me.
Wow. Let me ask you, ladies, how has your support base or how did the support base change when you first told your friends and your families of you being diagnosed with the virus?
Well, I didn't have support from the beginning. I didn't have that from the beginning. Like I say, I learned shame at home because, you know, at that time, HIV was so new to where, you know, people didn't want you to eat out of a cup or, you know, eat out the plate or drink out of a cup, you know, and sit on the toilet. And it was a lot to deal with.
I understand that. Lynette, how was your situation when you first told your family and friends that you were infected?
Well, right off the top, when they first found me and told me that I had HIV and AIDS, I went straight in and told my kids and my mom and my sister and brothers, and you know, I really didn't know how to accept it because, you know, to me, myself, I thought that the lifestyle that I lived is the reason that I contracted it, you know. So I was all ready and ready to accept it and move forward, you know. It was just, to me, like I said, you know, by my grandmother and aunties and uncles and mothers kept us in church a lot when we was younger. I always was told, God, don't put nothing on you couldn't handle. You know, but it was devastating at first. But I say after the first maybe, I say about the first 45 days, I was down and out, and then I just picked myself up, and I had to get educated. I had to, you know, get into the front of finding out what it was about. And so that's when I started going to meetings.
Saying that your family was totally okay with the fact that you had been diagnosed and they just didn't have a problem or any stigmas attached with the fact that you were a carrier of the virus?
None of my immediate family, no, they didn't. Matter of fact, my mom was probably about the only one didn't want me to tell nobody, but, you know, as she saw how strong-minded I had gotten to it and how I was always going places trying to learn more about it, you know, I would always give her the respect to call her first and let her know that I was going to be on TV or I'm going to be on radio or I'm going to be in this book. I always gave her the ups because she's my mom. But, no, never have I would ever let anybody, including my mom, I'm sorry, you know, to tell me how to live my life because of HIV and AIDS. I mean, I'm not ashamed.
I understand that. So that said, that leads into my next question. How soon do you tell a potential mate? Say you meet a fella tomorrow.
This is Lynette speaking. I told man as soon as it happened. Now, I didn't tell the whole truth, but I did tell him as soon as it happened. I told him that I found out I probably had this 10 years ago before the day I found out. Because I used to mess with an IV drug user when I was in my younger days.
You're not sure exactly who gave it to you.
Right. Well, I do know that when I was in treatment, they gave me a drug test, and it came out negative.
Okay.
But then a month after I got out of treatment, I took another drug test, and it came back positive. So
okay.
I'm 9 times out of 10, I know where it came from.
Okay. So. Yeah. Sharon, same question. How soon do you tell a potential mate about your status?
Well, I didn't use this from my past experience that I've learned to do. Is that before we even exchange phone numbers, you know,
right.
I'm introducing you to myself, and I know that it's a potential that you may want to flirt with me and I might want to flirt with you. I'm just going to give you that opportunity and tell you before we exchange numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you know about me. So
do you find that difficult?
That's the option to choose to call. To choose to even conversate with me.
But is that difficult to do, or have you just learned that it's easier just to get it out the way, and if they run, let them run now?
Yes, it's very difficult to do because you deal with rejection. And like I say, I learned shame at home.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was ashamed. You know, when you talk about the cups and things, I learned that at home. That's how it was for me at home. I couldn't eat out of the glasses and the plates at home. I had cups. Every time I went to the bathroom, I had bleach bottles because this is what my mom said I had to do.
Mm.
So I didn't have that freedom. I didn't learn that. I didn't have that kind of love. I didn't have that kind of support. I gained that through church and through outreach centers and through other family members.
Well, speaking of the shame, let me pose this question to both of you, and I'll start with Lynette this time. Is there shame associated with being infected with the virus? Do you still find yourself being around certain people and thinking, I hope they don't find out, or or are you just past that now?
I'm past. I've been past that years ago. I never have had shame because I knew how the lifestyle I lived. But like I had said before, even when I did contract HIV and AIDS, I didn't know about it because it wasn't being talked about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's out here and it's being talked about. You know, it shouldn't be no shame. It shouldn't be no stigma, you know, because it's out here. All you need to do is to get educated and get tested. And from then there, we got people that you can talk to nowadays. I mean, when I got tested, we didn't have nobody I could talk to. So nowadays, we here for the people, the newly diagnosed. We here for the kids that's born with it. But we ain't got kids being born with it right now, you know, so much today in the world because of how I told you that they have medication and stuff. So it's all in if you let the shame and the guilt, you know, it's a lot of us still have that because we don't have the family support that you would need, but you will get a friendship support. You'll have a family coming in with us.
Okay. Let me give the callers or the listeners an opportunity to weigh in. If you'd like to speak to our guest, you can reach us at 347-850-8390. Again, if you'd like to speak with our guest, our number is 347-850-8390. Speaking about the support base, sometimes we know in the real world support is not there. But how has your faith in God been shaken, or is it solid, or where are you all in terms of your faith with God at this point? We'll start with you this time, Sharon. How is your faith right now?
My faith with God is very strong because I understand that from 15 to 39, it was in itself is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost so many friends to HIV because of the shame and the stigma. You know, it's a lot of women who live with HIV, you know, who don't talk about it. You know, I understand each level of it because I have been 15 through 21, and from 21 to 30, and from 30 to 39. So every aspect of a teenager on down, I know exactly how the little girl feels that's sitting at home alone. I know how the lady that works on her job who's dealing with that, I know how she feels inside.
And so through your journey, you that God is the rock.
Yes, he's been my only thing that hasn't forsaken me or has left me. You know, man say that they will be there and they understand, but God is the only one that has truly understood and has truly, truly been there for me.
Wow. And Lynette, how is your faith right now?
Well, my faith in God is good because, like I said, that when I was young, that it was understood that us, the God don't put nothing on you that you cannot handle. I really do believe that if you pray and ask God for acceptance and mercy, it will happen. And I don't let too much of nothing take the faith of God out of me no more because without him, I don't even think I'd be here today right now.
That's true.
To talk about it.
We're going to go to the phone lines, 214-564. You're on the line. Welcome.
Hey, Miss Kerr, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Hello?
Hi.
I'm doing good, Miss Kerr. I'm really enjoying your guest. I think this is a wonderful show that you got. It's very positive. But one question that I do have for the ladies that's on here, I got to ask you how important is – well, I got two questions. But the first one is how important is it for a person that is HIV to take their medication?
My name is Cher.
Okay.
I'm going to speak, and I like to say it's very important. In the beginning, from 15, I say until 30, I was not taking any medication. I started taking meds at age 30, and I'm 39 now. So I've been taking it about 9 years. I'm undetected. What that means is that the virus is so low, only due to the medication, because I take it like I'm supposed to take it in a timely manner. And it helps. If you apply yourself, the medication will apply and do what it needs to do if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lynette?
Every day, now, I'm going to tell you, every day ain't a good day. You know, some days, you know, you may have some diarrhea. You may have some vomiting, you know, going on with that. But, you know, you got to press on. You just got to hold on and press on. And, yeah, you're going to be angry. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, some days
right.
I'm still angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can believe that. Lynette, are you on medicines right now?
Right now I am on medicine. Back in the day, you used to have to take, like, maybe 10 to 35 to 50 pills twice a day. Well, now they got it where you can take just one medication. It's 3-in-1. They call it a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very important to take your medication. I was blessed from the time I found out, which was in 93, to up into 2003 before I even got on medication.
Mm-hmm.
But if the doctors talk to you and you have a good understanding with your doctor and they want you to start meds, it'd be best to start them when they ask you to start. Because like they say, the medicine is what keeps your viral load undetectable and keeps your T cells up. And that's a way of just having a healthy life and living longer, because the medicine do work now. And it's no one in here can tell me that it don't work. The medicine works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin, what was your second question?
The second question I had is, what advice would you give to someone that's maybe tuning into the show that just found out that they HIV positive and they don't know what to expect?
Very good question.
Let me get that one first, Sharon.
Okay,
my name is Lynette. And I feel like if you're just not finding out that you are HIV and AIDS, HIV have the virus, what the best thing to do is to get in touch with someone that works at the AIDS Outreach Center. Get in touch with them so they can get you into a doctor. They can help you get, you know, everything that you need. Now, they have people there nowadays that would be a peer. That's what we are called. We are called peer advocates. And we talk to you and we go to your doctor's appointments with you and we help y'all get, you know, stable and find out. We even try to talk to you with your parents. We can try to talk to you with your spouse. But it's all up to the person. But we are there to help and assist. But it's now, soon as you find out, get in care. Because the quicker you get in care, the better off your lifespan lives.
Okay. Going back to, did you finish your answer, Sharon?
Ma'am.
Did you want to answer that as well?
Yes, well, this is kind of a little summary of what Lynette has just said. It's just, you know, basically, I mean, because I'm going to tell you, when I first found out, I guess I was very afraid. Yes, I was scared. I wondered what people thought, what people was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes a point when you have to do what's best for you.
True.
You have to do what's best for you. And seeking help, getting care is the best thing for you.
Speaking about getting health and care, we know that we talked about medicines a second ago. How expensive is these medications?
Very.
They're very expensive. One bottle of medication can cost you $8,000.
One bottle, $8,000.
You're going to need more than just that one pill, because, I mean, one pill may have three components in it, but you're going to have a nuclear medication and a non-nuke. So you're going to be on like three different pills. Each medication is high.
Let me ask you this. Is there assistance available? Because we know most people cannot afford $8,000 for their medicine.
Right. Yes, we do. We have the Ryan White Foundation. We have people in place to help you with paying for the medication that you need, Medicaid, also helps pay for the medication. There's assistance out there to get the Medicaid that you need. Even anything that you need, AOC can help you get.
Okay. So I think most of this goes back to education. How early
right.
do you feel people should discuss or families should discuss HIV and AIDS with their children? I mean, seeing that you ladies are living with it, you know the stigmas that are attached to it, what life will be if someone does contract it, how early should this message be getting out to children?
I'd say probably around the age of 8.
Around 8 years old.
Yes, because, you know, you have to think about it. Kids are being abducted. They are being raped, you know, and the longer that they don't talk about it, the kids don't know what to do. If something happened to them, you tell it, you know. So it is important that, you know, that's why I would gladly appreciate it if the governor could get us into the schools. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we go into the churches, we go into the community services, we go into a lot of places, you know. But I really do believe that we need to be into the schools, too, because that's, you know, kids thinking that having annual sex ain't having sex, annual sex. You know what I'm saying? They thinking that, you know, because they just kissing and stuff. You know, you can have a sore in your mouth, and it can be bleeding. And if the person have a sore in his mouth and is bleeding, that's a way of contacting it. You know, but you don't get it from kissing. It's just all about the cuts and the bruises of your body.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that. You know what I'm saying? And that we all do know you can't get it from sitting on no toilet. We all do know that you can't get it from hugging and kissing and all that. But you have to tell them about the cuts and the bruises. Or, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff I can't say on the radio, too. But, yeah.
I think what you're saying is any opening can allow the virus to get in there. If
right.
someone is using a knife in the kitchen and they cut themselves and then someone else has a cut on themselves and uses the same knife, you're saying any type of opening, that earring piercing, any type of opening in the body could allow the virus to enter. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I mean, that way it could if they're, you know, doing unprotected sex-like acts.
So basically, you're saying sex acts, period,
right.
where there's body fluids being exchanged.
Right.
Do you agree with talking to them as early as 8, Sharon, about the about HIV and AIDS?
I totally agree, because like I said, I had my son at 17. So, you know, once my son got 8 years old, you know, we started talking about it. We started talking about it in a fun way, like about Pac-Man, you know, how the virus, you know, how you play Pac-Man and how it eats up this, because that's how it eats up your T-cells. You know, you got to get the little blue pellet to rejuvenate your body, so that's your meds. So you got to make sure you take that. So if you explain it to them as a kid level, as they begin to grow, you constantly talking. I have 4 kids. My kids are 22, 19, 14, and 10. Even my 10-year-old knows about HIV and AIDS. He knows about playing. He knows that you don't, you know, when we were younger, we used to do like the little Indian sister and brother they love. We stick each other with the needle and rub our fingers together. They've been taught not to do that. You know, I mean, you got to teach them.
So you told your children about your status.
Yes, I told them about my status because I have kids, and I don't want some lady to give that to my son. I don't want a man to give that to my daughter. I stress how important it is to, I can't make you not have sex, but I can educate you about things about sex. Mm-hmm. And I can also teach you before you have sex with someone that this is going to be someone that you're going to be with, even a casual sex. You need to know their status. Don't let them just tell you that. Go get tested. Wait the 2 weeks that you need to wait. See their results. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to pull down your clothes with them, be willing to get tested first.
Let me give our callers our number again. Our listeners, the phone number is 347-850-8390. If you'd like to ask the ladies any questions that you may have, again, the number is 347-850-8390. So that said, sex education, you would think, needs to be back in the school, it sounds like.
Yes. I mean, look, they're having sex in the bathroom. I mean, I've been told about an incident at a high school where young men are having sex with men, you know, in the school bathroom. You know, girls are giving oral sex in the school bathroom.
Okay, so things have changed a little bit since we got out of high school, looks like.
Oh, totally.
And so there, I think our message today is going to be clear that, you know, we got to educate first, you know, our kids. We got to stop hiding.
Educate ourselves.
Yeah, this is true. Educate ourselves. Let me ask you that. Knowing what you know now, if you could say, I don't know, God, second chance, and I want to do over, would you say take this cup from me, or do you believe that this cross was given just for you to bear because you have shoulders big enough to carry it?
You want me to take that one?
I would say.
Oh, okay.
I think that I would say, Lord,
this is
it
Sharon,
is
right?
Your will. This is Sharon. I would truly say, Lord, if it's your will, not mine, if it's your will, take this bitter cup. But if not, give me the strength to endure. this race that you have before me. This HIV has, like a thorn in my side, that has taught me how to be meek, how to be humble, how to appreciate the trees, people that I come in contact with. This virus has introduced me to people I never would have met.
Wow.
And I thank God for it.
Mm-hmm. And Lynette?
Well, I thank God for this disease because it stopped me. It stopped me. Right today, I probably would be dead. The lifestyle that I was living.
Mm-hmm.
I think God gave me this disease so I could educate myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got the disease, like I said, I didn't really too much take time out and being in a pity party because I had something I wanted to be educated about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know that about HIV and AIDS when I got this. So, you know, God gave me and put me into people's arms and stuff that could teach me and show me and guide me. And, you know, it took me where, you know, I went to Washington and I graduated from AIDS Alliance for Children, Youth, and Families. I did all kinds of support stuff. I got with MHMR, the HEI program. I got some caseworkers in that field that's very good, that teaches me a lot. You know, they have places where we can, if you don't have a homestead, we can get you into places called the Samaritan House. It's a lot of things that I learned that I didn't know nothing about. And it's not only just because you have HIV and AIDS, you can have any disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, to me, this was God's sin, you know, and I'm not saying that I, you know, God going to give everybody the disease because it's not for me to say I'm not God, you know. But, yes, I wouldn't ask. My second chance would be to stay where I'm at and continue educating.
Let me ask you ladies this question. Is there comfort in having friendships with people who also are infected? I know that sounds weird in its own way, but is there comfort sometimes in just being able to talk to someone who knows what you're going through?
Yes, it is.
Is that Sharon?
Yeah, this is Sharon. It truly is because, see, I have friends
Sharon,
that don't have HIV. I have friends that don't have HIV, so sometimes, you know, they can only sympathize with me. But when I talk to my friend Lynette, or I would used to talk to my dear friend, Miss Lady Hogan, who has passed away, she can understand truly when I tell her that today I just don't feel like it. Or today my legs hurt me so bad that I just want to chop them off. She knows exactly how that feels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So sometimes you just need to have that oneness with someone where you don't have to explain. They already know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like having cancer. I can't tell you about cancer because I don't know that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can only talk to you about HIV because I know exactly how that feels. So when I meet a young lady who's dealing with that, I know her pain. I see her pain. I feel her shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lynette, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with it totally because, you know, I have seen people that come in here and... I had to just tell her, baby, it's not your fault. Hold your head up. You are a loving black woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not your fault. You didn't get the disease, you know, from just meddling out in the street. It was something that happened, a transfusion, you know, something that the hospitals didn't do right. You know, hold your head up and empower yourself. You're a pretty black woman. You know, and so she's been awesome ever since. She's my best friend, and, you know, she's awesome. You matter. She's very awesome.
She's a beautiful woman, and she has a beautiful spirit.
She really does.
I love that about both of you all because a lot of times depression can set in and do some very negative things to the mind, and it seems like both of your spirits are high and you seem focused. I mean, I know some days are sad. You can't help but have some sad days. But it looks like
you're
strong.
Yeah, but I like I said, when I came into this program, it wasn't that many, but it was one awesome lady. Her name was Lady Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady had always told us to hold your head. See, my phone finna go off again. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Is you here?
Okay, yeah.
Hello? Okay. And she had always said to hold your head up and be proud because you are a beautiful black woman. And, you know, she said she was going to, you know, make it to the end, and she did. She made it to the end. And I look up to her. She was an awesome lady.
Well, let me ask ladies this, that when you're doing your speaking engagements, is there something therapeutic about telling your story and maybe potentially helping someone through your story?
To me, this is Sharon. To me, when I tell my story, I am free.
Okay.
I am free. At that moment, I am free. I am free to tell you exactly how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that I know that if somebody sitting there, if it's just one person sitting there that stops me on my way out and tells me thank you, and I'm able to give her my number and she can call me and I can put her in the right direction where she needs to go. And I see them 2 or 3 years from today and they're doing just great and they say, thank you. I've done my best.
Okay. What about you, Lynette?
Yeah, I also feel that way because, you know, it feels good to help out somebody, to show somebody else that, you know, HIV and AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. You can live. You know, and live successfully. You can be a school teacher. You can be a nurse. You can do whatever you want to do. You just need to get out there and learn about it, educate others, and go for what you want. You know, if school is what you want, continue doing your schooling. Don't let nobody knock you down because they're not educated.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I want to see it. Don't let them knock you down because they're not educated. That way you come here to educate.
I want to comment on that right before, you know, when you talk about the schooling, I can truly understand that because, you know, when you first find out that you're HIV, all your hopes and dreams do go out the window. But you know what? If you just stand fast in the Lord, and He will apply everything that you hoped and dreamed to come back to you fourfold. I truly believe that because when I found out I was HIV positive, I was in my freshman year at Pauley. And, I didn't want to go to school because all the kids knew, all the people in the neighborhood knew that I was sick. They, you know, they heard it, but they just wasn't sure, but they knew. And that was really hard for me. So at that moment, I lost focus on my hopes and dreams. So now I'm trying to go to school and, you know, finish out my education because that is my dream, is to be a social worker for HIV, for women just like me. Yeah.
Let me ask this question. Knowing what you know now, and I know sometimes when we're young, we think nothing can happen to us. It always happens to someone else. But what advice would you have for someone who thinks that it's not going to happen to them or it couldn't happen to them?
Don't get so high and mighty and think that God can reach down and touch your life too.
That's true.
If He doesn't touch you, He will touch someone in your circle or friends or family, and it will have such a devastating impact on your life. So don't forget that we all have been promiscuous in our life at one point in time. You all have had hot 16, 25, 30, some of us at 40 and 50 still creeping around unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think it can't happen to you, because it will.
And your answer, Lynette?
Well, I always said that if you're up there and you think it can happen to you, then I just pray for you because it happens to some of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have met all kinds of people that it done happened to. And, you know, once they found out and really, really just brought their nose back down to earth where it belongs, see, they understand that you're not too high. You can't get this. This is a disease. And it's out there, and until they stop putting a stigma on it and until they realize and understand and get out there and educate and let us come in and educate, then the ones that don't think it can happen to them, it's going to happen because y'all not letting us in to talk to you. If you talk to them, say like if today we talk to you, you go talk to your daughter talk to her friend. That's how it gets around. You have to get out there and talk about it.
Let me ask something, because I know the listeners are probably wondering, well, she hasn't asked the tough questions yet. I'm going to ask what I think a lot of people are wondering. I think, Lynette, I understand you two have just ended a relationship, and Sharon is currently in a relationship. Do you ladies practice safe sex?
At all times.
Yes,
we practice safe sex because me and my friend, we are both living with it. We was living with it. And so, yes, well, we still is because he ain't dead yet. But, yes, we do practice safe sex because it's two viruses to this. You can get a different strand. You know, and we don't, you know, we don't want to hurt each other. We both just want to live a little longer. So it's a lot you have to do. And like I say, the thing for everybody is to, you know about these strains. And that's how you get educated and stuff and use protective sex, even if you ain't got HIV and AIDS. You need to protect yourself.
I understand that. And so when you're meeting a new person for the, I guess, and about to become intimate with them, is it important that that person be tested, even though you know your status, that they need to be tested as well?
Well,
yes.
Ms. Sharon, I believe before, you know, even going into a new relationship, you know, you need to know their status before you even begin to lay down with them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be honest about your status. Because not only do you also contract HIV, you can catch herpes, syphilis, you know what I'm saying? And you may not even know that the guy that you're dating, and you may not even know that you have herpes either. So, you know, both need to be tested, and you both need to be willing to sit down and share your information with each other. If you don't have an understanding like that, then you shouldn't even be sleeping with the person.
Mm.
Because as for me, in my relationship, before we even started engaging in sex, I had to get him tested. And even though we use protection, you know, sometimes, you know, yeah, the condoms may break. So if the condoms break, you already know to stop. Don't keep going. Don't continue on having sex. Stop. Get tested. Know what's going on. Be honest enough to know.
I understand that there are men out there that will know that a woman is infected with the virus and still feel that women cannot easily transmit the disease to men, so therefore it's okay to have sex without a condom with those women. Is that the case, or am I hearing something that's not true out there?
Well,
if someone is doing that, I really think that that is really bad on both parts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
I really do. I really think that no man should think that, you know, just because she has the virus and he doesn't have the virus and she can't give it to him, because she can, I mean, it's not as great, but it's a possibility that she can give it to him. She can have a tear in her lining or her vagina, and, you know, he can have a tear on his scrotum. I mean, it could be passed. So, I mean, why even put yourself at risk with getting HIV, syphilis, or herpes like that?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Because I know that you ladies have a lot of friends that you meet through, connections with the speaking engagements that you have and the facilities that you go to for support, have you found that you've lost a lot of friends to the virus?
Yes,
we
have.
Where they passed on?
I've lost so many friends, and I've met friends that I didn't even know who was dealing with HIV, and they, you know, they had been my friends so long, and they didn't even tell me until it was like almost the end. And, you know, I did everything I could. I do everything I can to get them in care and do the hospital visit. You know, I volunteer with JPS in the Healing Wings. I volunteer with AIDS Outreach. I'm also with the North Central Planning Council with the Health Department because I want my people to know.
That's good. Because I would think that in knowing people that have the virus, that there's going to be a lot of sadness involved because some people will pass on. As a result of complications from the virus or, as they say, other opportunistic diseases associated with, the virus. Is that correct?
Correct. But, you know, people think that you die from HIV or you die from AIDS, but that doesn't be the case, you know. You know, you die from, you know, your kidneys failing, you know. Your congested heart failure, you know. You get high blood pressure, you get diabetes. We get everything that everybody else gets. We don't die from HIV. We die from complications from the virus.
Okay.
Right.
And speaking of that, does that, I guess, knowing that you have the virus, does that cause you to want to eat healthier, exercise more, do all you can to build up a strong immune system so that you can fight off the effects of the virus as long as you can?
I try to do all that. This is Sharon. I try to do all that. But keep in mind, I got four kids. I have stress that's like everybody else. My life is just like everybody else. The only thing different is that I have this HIV that kind of runs around with me. So I try to make sure I eat healthy, try to eat 3 to 4 meals, nice healthy meals a day, get plenty of rest, take your meds, and try to relieve stress. Stress is the number one thing that will take your immune system totally down to zero.
Let me ask you, ladies, in being out there in the dating scene, what kind of men are you meeting out there? Are there men who actually want to date women?
This is Lynette.
Go ahead, finish.
Go ahead, Lynette, and I'm going to get that one.
Finish
yeah, this is Lynette, and my pick is broke. Because I meet men that, you know, you would think that they was good men and really wanted something in life. And really, to be truthful with you, I'm not going to mess with the man that doesn't have HIV and AIDS.
Okay.
And that's just my assumption of why I wouldn't do it is because even my relationship before I found out I had HIV and AIDS, I stayed with him 15 years. And it was God sent that I didn't pass this virus to him because I don't know what I'd have did to, you know. That would have probably just told me up because I wouldn't want to give this to nobody. So, you know, I would always have to, that's probably why my pick is broke because I'm not giving myself a chance. I don't know. But, yes, my pick is broke. And all the men that I do try to get in contact with, if they have HIV or AIDS or, you know, even if they're, I'm not going to say they taking care of themselves, they in care, they doing what they're supposed to do, but it just seems like I have to wait on God to give me that right person because my pick is broke. It's been broke for a while here.
I understand that. And you, Sharon?
Well, as for me, I've never dated anyone who was HIV positive. I've never met, I mean, I know guys who are, but I just, right off, I have never dated anyone. The guys that I have met along the way, you know, like I said, I tell them up front about my HIV status. I leave that part open because I believe that everyone has choices in life. So, I give you that choice. And before I start, you know, engaging like that, I want to make sure that you understand, totally understand about this virus, you know, and guys that I have met, you know, and have dated, and guys that I haven't even dated, just people that I've met along the way, you know, when I tell them that I'm HIV positive, you know, they be curious, they want to know why and what happened to you, and, you know, and I may see them like 5 or 6 or 10 years down the road, and they see me, and they, you know, they thank me for telling them, or they thank me for the education that I've given them. And they sometimes I've had them to come back and say, hey, I have an uncle, I have a brother who's living with this. Sharon, can you help them? And it makes me feel good that I had that opportunity to share that moment with them. So when someone came in their life, I was able to help them.
Let me ask you this. When you're dating out there, are there even stigmas attached with the men that you're dating? I mean,
Yes, it is. It totally is because, I mean, you know, the guy tells you that, okay, Sharon, I can accept that and I can deal with that. But then you know deep down inside all the stigma that you feel and that you face with it alone, just by yourself. And I know that the guy may say that he cares so much for you, but he faces that as well. Even though he's not infected, he faces that as well. He faces his friends may reject him for even dating someone with HIV, even socializing with someone with HIV. You know, I've been in relationships, Lord have mercy, I've been in relationships to where they have started out ever so good. I thought this was the perfect man for me. But then you notice that the distance come and that the shame come and then the seldom calls come and then you get the feeling as though the person is kind of like showing you, shining you away. You feel that. You feel that rejection because you dealt with rejection before.
Well, how do you find the strength to continue to date? because rejection is hard for someone who is not infected. So I can imagine being infected makes it even harder.
It's hard. It's very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard. Before I got into the relationship I'm in now, I hadn't dated. My youngest son is 10 years old. I've been with the gentleman that I'm with now 5 years. So 5 years prior to that, I hadn't dated anymore because I had got to the point where I was tired of being hurt like that. I was tired of being taken advantage of. People take advantage of people if you're sick or if you're not sick.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like when you are sick, they take even more advantage of you because they feel as though you can't do any better. And people, men and women both, can be the cruelest people to anybody when you're going through any kind of sickness, especially with HIV.
Well, have y'all found that sometime you took more in a relationship than maybe you thought you wouldn't have taken?
I have taken, this is Sharon, I have taken stuff and dealt with stuff and put up with crap that I normally know that I don't need to be putting up with. But you find yourself because you want to be loved just like the next woman. You want to be held just like the next woman. I want to go to the movies too. I want to be treated right too. I'm no different than the next woman.
So how do y'all justify in your own mind, okay, I'm letting him treat me like whatever,
pull yourself up by your boots and know who you are in Christ. And know that you deserve the best. Just because you have HIV, you don't have to settle for no man beating on you, cheating on you, lying to you, doing all those things to you. You don't have to settle for that. You are just as good as the next woman.
And I agree with that totally. I just wonder sometimes, though, it's easier said than done, I'm sure.
It's very easier said than done.
Okay. So what advice would you give to anyone listening who may be out there and thinking, okay, but I've been doing what I've been doing forever, and I haven't got the virus, and I don't think I'm going to get the virus. What would you say to them?
Well, this is Lynette.
Take the blinders off. To the men that are doing dual relationships, two and three women, you know, at a time, and then some of them down low, do you think that they're the... Do you blame anybody? I guess my question is, do you blame anybody? Or do you say that it's not anybody's fault, you know, that it could happen to anybody? Or do you say that there is some fault for those people that are having multiple partners in this whole pandemic of HIV and AIDS out there?
I feel like if you're having multiple partners and you're having multiple partners and you're not having no protective sex going on, hey, it's like playing Russian roulette. You're just waiting on the trigger to be pulled.
I agree.
And this is Lynette, and I feel like that if you don't stop playing Russian roulette with your life, you will get it eventually, or the person that you could get something even worse to, and that's death. You know, you are playing Russian roulette with your life, and it's not fun because once you get into this life of living with HIV and AIDS, your whole enigma is going to change.
Do you think we're just going to speak of the black community right now. Do you think the black churches are doing enough to speak about this within the church walls? Or
no, I don't. Sharon Russell, no, I don't. I don't believe that they're doing enough. I believe that they want to sweep it under the rug and they want to pass it off and say that they, because I've been in churches and I've heard pastors say that, you know, you had to be doing this and this is God's punishment for your life. That is not the case. That is not the case.
The church should
be educating more.
When you hear people say that, and I've heard that said before, that it's your fault and God is punishing you, just like they may say about someone who has AIDS and contracts, or I'm sorry, is gay and contracts.
You know what? Let me say this. What do you say to the little girl who's born with it? Is it her fault?
I agree.
What do you say to the little boy
who's
born with it? Was it his fault?
So that's just ignorance when people say things like that.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Lynette,
it's very ignorant because, like I had said, it's people that our kids nowadays, I mean, they got it now where kids shouldn't have to be born with it. But back in the late 80s and the early 90s, these kids were born with this. It wasn't their fault. Their mom and dad passed this on to them. And for a person to stigmatize or to tease a person that got this, that's living with this, and it's not their fault, that's getting you less than, I feel you less than a grown person. You less than a church to say that God gave this to you for you being bad. No, God didn't give us this for being bad.
I agree with
this
that.
Happens, you know, and I'm not going to put God in that part of that, because that's to me, you're putting his name in vain when you do that.
I agree. We're going to go back to the phone lines. 817-791, you're on the line. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage. Good afternoon. 817-791, you're on the line.
Hi. I was just wondering, are your kids and everyone okay with this, and how does it affect your life?
Hi, my name is Lynette. And when I found out, like I said, I found out back in 1993, I walked my kids in with me through this. They was one of the first ones I told was my old man and my kids. I know now. People didn't want me to tell my kids, but I'm like this. They have to live with me. The other people didn't have to live with me. My kids had to live with me. So whatever goes on in their mom's life, I felt they needed to know. And I walked them through it, and now my kids are 23, 24, and 32. And, yes, I feel like, you know, they should, all my family knows. I'm not going to say don't nobody in my family knows. My whole entire family knows.
Sharon,
and we all are right with each other.
Sharon, you want
to
ask a question?
Yes, I want to comment on that. My name is Sharon. You know, I sit down and I talk to my kids even before I got on the air, even before I went was in the newspaper, on the television show, because I have a daughter who's 19. So I wanted to make sure that she was secure within herself. I wanted to be comfortable with knowing that my kids was all right with it. Because like Lynette said, my kids have to live with me. And when I began to tell them about how I contracted the virus, and, you know, and I let them know that I have four kids, and none of my kids are positive by the grace of God. There are none of them positive. Not even their dads are positive. And I thank God for that. You know, and I let them know, because I don't want the world to tell them, because if the world tell your kids something, they tell it so ugly. They don't tell the whole truth, because only you could tell the truth about your life.
Okay, ladies, we have less than 2 minutes left in this segment. Is there anything that you want to say in closing to the listeners about maybe education, about maybe not being so easy to stigmatize someone with AIDS or HIV out of ignorance? Is there any closing remarks?
I just want to say this to our women, to black African women, not only black women, white women, Mexican, Hispanic women, love your sisters.
Mm.
Love your sisters. And men need to love the women that they're dating and that they're married to, and not sleep around on their wives and not sleep around on their girlfriends. I mean, because you open up a whole door of Pandora's box when you do things like that.
Okay, Lynette, you get the final word.
Okay, hi, this is Lynette. And I would want people to, like, when we're giving testing sites or when we're having things for HIV and AIDS, come out and get tested. Talk to your pastor in the church. And, you know, maybe you see me on Facebook or anything. Get my number. Call me. I'll come speak out at your church. I'll come and talk for you. Let's get educated about this. Let's do this. You know, let's bring this to a halt. We don't have a cure yet, but we can bring it to a halt.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you so much for being my guest today. I hope we have been informative and helped someone to understand the importance of being tested and getting education about the virus and HIV and AIDS. This is the second edition of HIV and AIDS, and the third segment will be on the 29th, where John Reed will be our guest, an HIV and AIDS expert, and he will tell us more about the stigmas and myths associated with AIDS. Thank you and good night.
Hello.